Psalm 136. I would ask you to read the refrain, and I think it's meant to be publicly read by the way that it is written. I encourage you to speak each refrain as freshly as you can, not just monotonously, but it's meant to convey a repetitive message. God's mercy endures forever. And not just thinking of His mercy as His good feeling toward us. The word mercy there is covenant mercies. In other words, God's promise to save a people forever. And so keep that in mind as you take the refrain in Psalm 136. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. O give thanks unto the God of gods. O give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To Him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To Him which led His people through the wilderness. To Him which smote great kings and slew famous kings. Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land for a heritage, even a heritage unto Israel His servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. And together, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. When the word thanksgiving is heard, no doubt thoughts appear in our minds, such as a national holiday, a day off, family gatherings, hunting, turkey feasts and pies, parades, and football. But somehow, the original meaning gets lost in all of those mostly good things. Or the meaning is not as special as it ought to be. Thanksgiving. Even the holiday was meant to have an object in mind. Thanksgiving unto God. Thanksgiving is giving of thanks. Being thankful to the One who loadeth us with gifts and benefits. My thought today is thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Can we remember that? Can we note that? Can we experience that? Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. To remember the original meaning of thanksgiving associated with the one true and triune God and the people that He has made, and that we might be stirred to engage our hearts in its exercise, and indeed that its exercise might be a cause that our hearts may be so described as thankful and having thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Thanksgiving is a means of worshiping God. God is defined as worthy of worship. Thanksgiving or worship is a reverent and joyful expression that is only deserving unto deity. A reverent and joyful expression of a creature to its maker in God. A reverent admiration of deity. An act of piety toward God. The word that's translated here, "Oh, give thanks," means to throw or cast praise and to confess what is true and actual about God. Not that which is embellished or exaggerated. I dare say that no creature could ever exaggerate praise, could ever give God more praise than He deserves. I think we would all admit that we give God less praise than He deserves. We are to cast praise and laud and felt thanks toward God. That's what he means by, "Oh, give thanks." Give felt thanks. Yes, I'm sure that he accepts thanks and the feeling to follow. But doesn't the Lord want felt thanks? "Be ye thankful," we're told in the book of Colossians. The Lord wants our hearts, not just our lip service. For the Lord said that these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How are we to cast praise and thanks, felt thanks? In songs, you read this, you look at this word in the concordance, and it's used in songs and choirs, in testimonies before men, by offerings. They were thank offerings. In prayer to God, much of our prayer is to be termed thanksgivings. As Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1, that he would that we offer unto God prayer and thanksgiving and unto Him. And in Ezra 10:11, it mentions that thanksgiving is noted by abandoning our sin. In other words, it's genuine thanksgiving from one who has forgiveness to be thankful for. Thanksgiving, therefore, is more than a holiday. It's a means of worship. It's an expression of holiness in the soul. If the soul engages in true thanksgiving to God for salvation. But nevertheless, I believe that God commands thanksgiving from every individual. God desires that it is expressed. Acts 27, Paul expressed thanksgiving to God publicly in front of 276 people. He wasn't being ostentatious or seeking to draw attention to himself. God had publicly protected the people. And God had publicly provided for them. He was worthy of public thanksgiving. And people wonder, is it not ostentatious for a Christian to bow his head in a restaurant and give thanks to God? No, it isn't. I think it would be ostentatious for us to presume to stand and give thanks for everyone else in the restaurant for different from the situation of Paul on the ship where they all experienced such trial and tribulation and they were all together in this. But we're in a restaurant being served food that God has provided and we are to give thanks unto the Lord no matter who is watching because we're sensing His presence and His provision. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus, in front of all the people, gave thanks to God. There was a connection there, for He was ministering unto them, and they were hungry. And he was providing for them, and he wanted them to recognize that this provision was from God. When we worship the Lord with thanksgiving, we state that any blessings that have ever come to us have come to us from God. We need to remember that. Whether they're an endowment, an inheritance, whether it's interest, whether it's from our labor, it has all come from God. For He provided the one to endow and to bequeath things to us. He allowed the interest to accrue from our dealings. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And how we see in this day and age that things are being taken away. Can we say, blessed be the name of the Lord, that stocks have plummeted as they have? Can we say the Lord will provide? He is Jehovah Jireh. And you say, well, I've earned it. You ever visited a paraplegic who can't earn? You ever been in a nursing home and visited a 45-year-old person that can hardly walk and talk? All it takes is a chemical imbalance, and there goes me. There is you. On your bed, being taken care of by your spouse and by your children. All it takes is an accident on a highway, some drunk that crashes into our car, and we could be in a health care facility for the rest of our lives. In our class recently, for the bus, some man was driving down the road eating his lunch, and a little girl pulled out in her tricycle. And he swallowed the food. He was so shocked. It caused him to have an accident. This man ended up dying. Most likely he would have been a paraplegic if he'd have lived and survived. That's all it takes. How we're to be thankful for the Lord's protection. How many things could happen on our way to work, on our way to church. Oh, how we take things for granted. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It's a means of worshiping. It's man saying, we need God. He has provided for me all that I need, all that I have. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's really hypocrisy for someone to call this Thursday Thanksgiving and have no thanks at the meals. Have no thanks in conversation. Have no reference to God in all of their feasting, in all of their fellowship. Where is the Lord? It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. He has loaded this country, the fields and the forests and the orchards with food. Thanksgiving is a means of worshiping God. The transition is how God is worthy of thanksgiving. It's an act appropriate for Him. Secondly, thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Thanksgiving is worship that's belonging to God. It's not just a name of a holiday. It is that which is deserving of the Lord. Who is first given to Him, and it shall be given to Him again. Who can repay God all that He has given to us? Thanksgiving belongs to the Lord. I'm amazed at how many people I'm meeting these days, and it seems especially among the youth, not always, that think that God is arrogant because He demands worship. What are you doing here? I'm preaching. Why are you preaching? Because God sent me to preach His Son. Isn't that arrogant of God? That you're to preach His name? That you're to preach His Son? Does God have this sadistic desire to be worshipped? He is God. As air is to the atmosphere and water to the ocean, and flesh to man, so is worship to God. He has no competition. He's the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is deity. He is eternal and unchangeable. He must be worshipped. It is a natural reaction of a creature to worship his creator. He's the greatest of all. He's called the Lord, Jehovah. He's eternal. He's gracious. He's good. He's called Lord Adonai. He is the ruler and the judge and the king. He's called God. He is independent, uncreated, and powerful. He has no competition. We're told in verse 4, to him who alone doeth great wonders. Any wonders that any people have ever done have been derived wonders. God has done them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, arise and walk. And Peter said, it is not our power that causes man to walk. It is God's power. Moses, though he extended his rod and the waters parted, as we read, it was God that parted the Red Sea. It is divine power that caused people to walk and the dumb to speak and the blind to see and the dead to live. He's the God of gods and Lord of lords, and he's literally the God of the heavens, verse 26. He made all the heavens. This God didn't make the heavens and that God the earth and the other God the creatures and the other God rules and has providence over these things. One God made all and rules over all and judges all. It is God that does great things. Verses 5 to 9, the great things of creation, spoke with His Word, formed things with His Word. Verses 11 to 14, and verse 16, verses 21 to 24, speaking of the salvation of Israel, the salvation of His people. Verses 10 and then 15 to 20, His judgments. Verse 25, He gives food to all flesh. What a summary statement. What an overall statement about His providence. Food is representative of all the things that man needs. He gives food to all flesh. He gives air to all flesh. He gives health. He gives existence. He gives their needs to all flesh. As we read, give us this day our daily bread, representing all of our needs, not just our food, our clothing, our housing, our friends. God is the God of providence, and He's the God of wonders, literally amazements. That which gains our attention to the One who is above all and in all and through all. God is the greatest of all. He has no competition. He does great things. He's in a category by Himself. Worship is to God as the act of worship is to man. And yet, we have turned and worshiped the creation and the creature. As blue is to the sky, so is worship to God. It is natural. It is becoming. It is that which belongs to the Lord. It's more than a holiday. It is that means of worship that belongs to God, the God of heaven. You say, which God? The God. All the gods of the heathen, the Lord says, are idols, are literally are nothing. But the Lord made the heavens. The One who made the heavens and rules over the heavens and the earth. The One who made all the creatures and rules over the creatures. He is God. He's the One that stands in the ring at the end and all the other gods fall headlong. The act of thanksgiving to God is appropriate to the creatures. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's a means of worshiping the Lord. It is that worship that belongs to Him because He is God. And it is that which is befitting, owed by His creatures. There are two kinds of rational beings that worship. And they're mentioned, are they not, in the Psalms? Angels, we're told in Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, O angels of His. Angels worship the Lord. And those who have fallen have refused to worship Him, but they shall bow the knee one day. Yet the devil must give account to the Lord. Human beings, over and over we're told, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Who is the psalmist speaking to? Is he speaking to animals? And isn't it sad that animals do His will? He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. And one is neuter and one is masculine. He came unto His own creation, but His own creatures, human beings, received Him not. In other words, when the Lord said, bring a donkey, did the donkey resist Him? Every creature that the Lord bid was at His disposal. Whether it was a dove, a donkey, even in Balaam's time, another donkey. And yet, when He said to man, repent, He said no. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. He's referring to human beings. Psalm 145, 9, the Lord is good to all, but His mercy is only to human beings. His covenant mercy. He provided no salvation for angels. So when He says, for His mercy endures forever, He's speaking to human beings. It is God that we owe our souls, our bodies, our lineage, our health, our hope. But it is to God that we owe our salvation. For God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the Spirit and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Absence of worship means there's self-worship, for man worships something. Creation worship. The Pharisee even prayed thus, literally, to himself when he prayed. He wasn't praying to God. Though he said, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men. It says he prayed to himself. That man did not go down to his house justified. But the publican who smote his breast and could not yet lift his head up to heaven said, oh God, be literally propitiated to me a sinner. Let the mercy seat cover the law that I have broken. Let your wrath be settled. Let be satisfied. He was pleading the blood of Christ. Unfelt gratitude is ingratitude. He's given us food for all things. He's given us our daily bread. It's befitting to us. We have been recipients of so much. Thanksgiving is befitting, yea, it's owed by His creatures. It's more than a holiday. And may I say, lastly, though what's befitting or becoming should be neglected, believers should resolve to give thanksgiving. It's befitting to all His creatures, but may I challenge us that thanksgiving is especially becoming and should be determined by believers. Let the world not bow their head. Let the restaurants be filled with people who fail to acknowledge God. But truly, God is good to Israel. 8 times we read, to Him who alone did this. To Him, what is He saying? Thanksgiving to Him. Thanksgiving to Him. Thanksgiving to Him. For His goodness and His covenant mercy. One can receive good without grace, in other words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. But His mercy endures forever. Where are the 9 lepers? They received My goodness. But they didn't receive His grace. What about the lame man who was given the ability to walk is recorded in John 9. When Christ said to him, and there was a warning there, make sure you don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing happen to thee. Instead of the man falling on his face and saying, art thou the Son of God that healed me? I believe in thee, like the blind man did the next chapter. This man gets up and instead of worshiping Christ, he informs the Pharisees of Christ. Persecutes him. Like Malchus, who apparently, as he was on his back, as he arose and had an ear taken off, instead of worshiping Christ when he healed him, instead of bleeding to death, instead of saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went on with the crowd to arrest the Savior. Friend, you've been a recipient of God's goodness. He's given you your life. He's given you your health. He's given you your food. He's given you your family and friends, your job. But can you say that He has shown mercy to me and saved my never-dying soul? You have a soul that will live somewhere forever, God's heaven or God's hell. And if you are outside of Christ, you are going straight to God's hell. Unless a mediator stands between you and God. Oh, that today you can now begin to give thanks to God for His mercy that endures forever. That this Thanksgiving season you might find Jesus Christ as the one to save your soul. Speaks of Israel's exodus out of Egypt. But he also, in verses 17 and following, speaks of Israel's exodus into Canaan. Be thankful for your exodus from the world and from the lifestyle of sin. But God did not bring you out, not to bring you in. He brought you out of the world to bring you into heaven, into the place of peace and rest for your soul. So he speaks of Israel being delivered from Exodus, but then being delivered into Canaan when he destroys Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. Oh, think of the giants the Lord has felled to bring us into the land of Canaan. The sins that easily beset us. The devil who easily terrorized us. He remembered us. Notice how he becomes very personal at the end of the psalm. Okay, Israel give thanks. But who remembered us? Verse 23. In our low estate, who redeemed, who rescued us from our enemies. Look, it's one thing for you to say, oh, you give thanks. Oh, you give thanks. I will give thanks. In other words, it's befitting for all, but it is especially becoming to Christians. And it's inexcusable if we are unthankful. For we have been given eternal life. And shouldn't we be like Daniel? I will purpose in my heart. I will resolve to be a thankful person. I will be exalted to give thanks unto the Lord. He has not only been good to me, He has been gracious. I will thank Him for good and I will thank Him for evil. I will thank Him for calamity. Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we now receive the good from the Lord as well as the evil, as well as calamity? Why should we not receive both to prove His grace? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy commandments. Calamity has its use. And God is a wise distributor of His gifts to His children. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. It's a means of worship. It's an expression of our redeemed hearts to God. It is a way of life for the Christian to be thankful. It should be personalized, should it not? Oh, that people would sense the gratitude that we owe to God. There's something encouraging, is there not, contagious about a thankful person. Let's be those thankful people. Let's change the atmosphere in a complaining workplace. Let's be thankful for the cold and the snow and the rain and the falling stock markets. Who are we trusting in? Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. Will you trust in our stocks and bank accounts? Where's the Lord in our lives? We worry that our children will have to trust the Lord for their lives. Thanksgiving is the will of God. This is the will of God, that you give thanks. Isn't it what is so closely associated with God's pleasure? Listen, it says in 1 Thessalonians 18, 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We know this is God's will for us to be thankful people, to cast praise continually toward God. When anything happens in our lives, like Job, to fall on our face and thank God because He is all wise in the distribution of matters. All things work together. When we thank God for calamities, we're saying, Lord, You are a perfect God, harmonizing everything in my life. Thanksgiving is more than a holiday. Or will we be just like the world this week? Just enjoy all the good things and graces of God with very little reference to Him. Every day I travel past a farm. Once in a while I have to stop for the cattle who are crossing the road. And I watch these cattle, and what has occurred to me is they're brute beasts. They just follow one after another. And here they are walking down, trudging through the mud. Dozens and dozens at a time, just on to the fields. And I have, how many times, thank God, as I've watched the cattle waiting at the gate before it's open, or trudging across the road, or up the mud path, and thank God I'm not a brute beast, that I can think and reason and know God. And yet I confess, I act like a brute beast so often when I'm ungrateful and presumptuous and follow the next guy up the tread path without ever any reference to God. We owe Him everything. He's here. He's alive and well. He deserves our praise and thanksgiving. Do we thank God when we have our meal before us? Us hunters, when you take a deer, do you get on your knee and thank God for the deer? Do we thank God when a little baby's born into the world, when our children are engaged, when they're married? Is gratitude in our hearts? Spontaneous thanksgiving unto the Lord? When we get sick, do we say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for showing me I'm finite, that I can't live without Thee. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy salvation so rich and free. Let's show the world this week the difference between a holiday and a means of worship. Let's enjoy the holiday, but let it be a holy day unto the Lord. let us engage in thanksgiving that was meant to be a means of worship unto the God of glory, the God of goodness and grace. Let us pray. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, God who pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of Thine heritage? Thou retainest not Thine anger forever, for You delight in mercy. You will turn again, You will have compassion upon us, You will subdue our iniquities, and Thou will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Lord, if You have given us Your Son, how shall You not give us all things freely in Him? Father, forgive our ingratitude. Forgive our presumption. Forgive us, Lord, for not being different. Thou hast said, let Your light so shine before men that they may see Your good works and glorify Your Father which is in heaven. Well, Lord, You said among a category of vices that men will be unthankful. Lord, we pray that You'd forgive our sins. Truly, ingratitude is a lack of love to God. It is not honoring God as our God. In a sense, Lord, we are taking Thy name in vain. Thou art the God of thanks, the God of provision, Jehovah Jireh. We are not showing forth Your goodness and grace. Lord, we pray that we would begin practicing regularly every day, that it would be a natural expression of our hearts to give Thee thanks for all things. O Lord, we're unworthy of the least of Your mercies, but we thank Thee that we have inherited Christ. And we thank Thee, Lord, that somehow yet You say that we are Christ's inheritance. Lord, we thank Thee that as the potter, that You have changed us from sinners into saints. Rejected and yet accepted in the Beloved. O Lord, help us to recognize the preciousness of Your grace. And we pray, Lord, that we would reflect what a saint ought to be this week. Please, Lord, may the Spirit of God take these truths and remind us of them. As Jesus said, He would lead you into all truth and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I said unto thee. Answer prayer and help us to be doers of the word as well as hearers, we ask, in our Savior's name.